The 0-2 pitch, swing and a miss, knocked him out. The Philadelphia Phillies are 2008 World Champions of Baseball.
It's Wednesday, January 20th, 2016. Welcome to the Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable, brought to you by shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. I'm Bill Furman. I'll be your host tonight, along with my partner, Jim Chesko. And hey, Chet, the Doug Peterson era is underway at the NovaCare Complex.
Yeah, that it is, Bill. It's not quite as exciting a time as when Chip Kelly was surprisingly announced to lead the Birds 3 years ago, but there is certainly plenty to talk about as Dougie P assembles his staff, and we continue to speculate about what the 2016 Eagles might look like.
Well, you know, I was thinking today, did you realize that not only do three of the four Philadelphia sports teams have new coaches with Peterson, Dave Haxtell, and Pete McCammon, but they're all rookie coaches? Brett Brown, with his 19% win percentage, is the only coach in town with experience, and he got it here.
Yeah, there's been a lot of change in the last year or so, and it is certainly an interesting time on the Philly pro sports scene.
Well, partner, we're going to take a little different approach on our show tonight. We've invited a diehard Philly sports fan to be our guest so we can get a fan's perspective of all these things that we're talking about. And we're also going to have our phone lines open from the beginning of our show until about 7:45 p.m. tonight when we start to wrap things up. So consider it open mic night if you want to ask myself or Chet or Fred a question or just make a comment. Feel free to call. And we just ask that you be prepared, be brief, and so we can get as many callers in as possible.
In other words, work fast like Chip Kelly, but don't leave us disappointed like he did.
And don't go three and out. Hey, with that said,
exactly.
Let's welcome Fred Hugo to the show. Fred, you've been part of some things we've been doing with the show before, but never been in the guest hot seat. So welcome aboard.
I'm glad to be here. This is pretty new, pretty exciting. I'm excited to talk sports with you both. Thanks for having me.
We're going to have a lot of fun. Well, hey, let's get this thing rolling. And I'm going to start out by throwing something for you guys to think about, and I want to get your comments on it. You know, when Doug Peterson was hired there, you know, there was a lot of speculation or a lot of criticism, I guess you'd say, of the Eagles organization that they didn't do a good search, you know, and they might have interviewed whatever the number ended up being, 6, 7, 8. And, you know, I think Peterson was probably their guy for quite some time. And, you know, and the critics are saying they needed a bigger name. But, you know, I guess my real question is maybe the job just isn't that good right now. And I want to use an example. Sean McDermott, you know, was somebody that Eagles fans wanted to see get a shot. Chet, I know he was your favorite.
Yep.
Never came in for an interview, yet he did go to Tampa. And, you know, maybe Sean doesn't want to be a head coach yet, but the Tampa situation was something that he wanted to look into. And here's my thinking. Tampa sitting there with a franchise quarterback in Jameis Winston, a Pro Bowl probably franchise wide receiver in Mike Evans. They have Vincent Jackson. They have a good running back in Doug Martin. They have a first-team all-rookie team, left tackle in Donovan Smith. You know, you've got some pieces, young pieces in place in that particular franchise that maybe scratches that Sean McDermott itch a little bit that the Eagles might not have. What's your thoughts? Chet, what do you think?
Let's have Fred go first since he's our special guest tonight. Fred, what do you think about all that?
Well, it's, as far as McDermott going, did he decline the job down there, or he just interviewed and they picked Dirk Cotter? How did that?
I don't think they ever offered him, but he did interview.
Yeah, so it's not really his decision. I think he would have took a head coaching job anywhere he could. And when you heard him on the radio up here in Philadelphia, to me anyway, he didn't even – I don't know. He sounded a little – I mean, he obviously wasn't desperate, but he just sounded like like he was lobbying for the job a little too much to me. But I still think Philadelphia is a good destination to come to. I think we have a lot of talent on defense, and the offense can be tweaked and fixed rather – not. I don't want to say easily. It's going to take time, but you got the offensive line, the receivers, and you just got to figure out where you're at quarterback, and you have the opportunity to build your franchise from not the bottom up, but you get control of it, as opposed to when Chip came in here, he had a lot of talent, and we were the number one offense right away, where I think that may have been to the detriment of him in a way as well, because if he would have been able to come in here and have a bad team, let's say, in the beginning, and then was able to build the team up from there, it might have been different. It was more of a shot in the beginning where he had a lot of success, so then the gradual dissension made it that much worse, where if the expectations were lower, I think he would still be here.
Yeah, the Eagles job isn't as attractive as it was 3 years ago when you had, you know, DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin and LeSean McCoy all here. Brent Celek was younger. You had Michael Vick and second-year Nick Foles, I guess, at the time. So it was a much more bountiful situation back then. Right now you got a lot of question marks. You got the confusion in the front office, you know, who's in charge, what's going on there with player personnel. So certainly not the job that it was 3 years ago. As far as the process is concerned, I mean, Jeffrey Lurie said they did have up to 25 guys on their initial list. Ron Jaworski, who was part of the process, said the number was actually 22 guys that they were considering. And I heard him confirm today that Sean McDermott was one of his guys on his list. For whatever reason, they didn't put McDermott on the final 10 or whatever to reach out to an interview. But, yeah, McDermott, even John Gruden was on Jaworski's list. Now, I don't know if he declined an interview or what. But supposedly they did do their homework. They did a lot of research on all of these guys, ultimately decided on the six guys to interview. Maybe they wanted to get Hugh Jackson in there too, but didn't for whatever reason. It was too late. I don't know if Peterson was their guy right from the start or if they just, you know, waited too long to make an offer to Adam Gase and or Ben McAdoo. But I think they did do their homework. We just have to hope that they made the right choice. We'll find out, I guess, in a year or two.
Well, that leads me to my next thought. You know, 3 years ago, we all knew that it was time for Andy Reid to go. The ship had sailed. The team had quit on him. They finished 4-12, and it was a good run for Reid, but it was over. I think we all knew that. And, you know, we brought in Chip Kelly full of energy and spunk and all that that didn't last very long. But, you know, here we are, you know, turn up the calendar 3 years to the end of 2015. And now we have a new coach in Doug Peterson, and I guess I want to ask Chip, we'll start with you on this one. Are the Eagles in a better shape now than they were 3 years ago?
No, definitely not. I mean, as I explained, the talent's just not there. You don't know who the quarterback is. That's the other thing. I mean, it's 50-50, I guess, as far as whether Bradford is going to be back at quarterback. Still a lot of question marks. So the offensive line is in shambles. So, no, they are definitely nowhere near where they were 3 years ago with a lot of talent. So Peterson has his work cut out for him. And, you know, he's never been a head coach before at the pro level, certainly. He's going to have to get used to working with all these new assistants. They did make it official today, by the way. Frank Reich will be the offensive coordinator. We already knew Jim Schwartz would be defense coordinator. That's a real good hire. So we shall see, but no, they're not as good as they were 3 years ago, certainly. And as far as expectations, who knows at this point? A lot of it's going to depend on who the quarterback is.
Fred, what do you think? Better or worse?
It depends what side of the ball. I think defensively we are better. And I think especially if we move back to the 4-3 and re-sign Vinnie Carey, I think the defense can be a great defense. You start with the defensive line up front, and if we can get a pass rush, and I'm not even – I know it's Schwartz, there's rumors of the wide nine. I don't think he's necessarily committed to the wide nine, and if they disguise that and use that once in a while, I don't see that as being like a bad thing either. So I think defensively we're more talented than when Chip first came here, so than 3 years ago. Offensively, our receivers are just horrible. I can't even – Chip would probably still be here if they caught half the passes because there were plays where they were literally wide open, touchdowns, wide open, just dropped after drop after drop. and we really need to upgrade the receiver position. The line has been a problem all year, but maybe if the system's a little bit different, where we're a more regular pro offensive scheme, they can probably be a little more successful. So I wouldn't say it's better, but I don't think it's that far off. And we still, like we've needed since Donovan, we need a quarterback. So,
hey, getting back to Schwartz, as Fred mentioned, the defense could be pretty good, and Schwartz is getting, you know, very high marks from everybody who was analyzed that higher. As defensive coordinator, Schwartz's defense have always been pretty solid, and I heard Adam Kaplan saying today on the radio that under Schwartz, he expects we'll see a more effective Vinnie Curry, assuming he is re-signed, and a more effective, your favorite player, Bill, Brandon Graham.
Well, I think you will. I think you will. I think if you put Graham with his hand back on the ground and let him play defensive end, where I told you when my thought when they did this is they made the guy a fish out of water. You know, he was not a linebacker, and they did the same thing to Trent Cole at the end of his career too. You know, and with that said, Graham wasn't a monster by any means under Andy Reid when he did have his hand on the ground, but I think he could be a better contributor to the team from that defensive end position. What worries me if they go to 4-3 is how do the linebackers fare out? Who ends up being an outside linebacker in this bunch? You know, the Alonzo deal is still a mystery, how that's going to work out. Can Barwin, as good a player as he is, can he be that solid 4-3 outside linebacker? And then who plays the other one? So I think that's a mystery. But I'll tell you what I really want to see is in 4 years here, with Andy Reid's last year and Chip Kelly's three, we have basically had four different defensive backfields. Everybody just kept pretty much interchanging parts, and they found nothing that worked. Was it the guys? Was it the scheme? And you know, I've been yelling about the scheme for a long time. You know, they're probably going to have most of the same players, and hopefully they don't lose Malcolm Jenkins in this free agency. You know, I'd like to see how they can improve on that defensive backfield because we all know they've been atrocious.
Yep.
I think it's a little bit of both as far as the scheme and the players, because the players up until this year, I think Walter Thurman, Jenkins, Rocha, Promis, even Carroll did okay. Before that, those cornerbacks were just – I can't even describe the anger I would watch when I would watch Bradley Fletcher and Carrie Williams, and just – they weren't – and you see now they go to other rosters and they can't even make those teams. That coupled by Billy Davis, which you called from the beginning, Bill, I will give you credit for that. It's just – I really think Billy Davis alone leaving is going to improve them, and I agree. If we can, hopefully Rowe develops, and then we can have a solid defensive backfield. And the question for you, and I might be wrong here, when Schwartz was the defensive coordinator for Buffalo, was Kiko the linebacker that year that he had that success?
I think that was 2 years ago, wasn't it? And that was his only year there as defensive coordinator.
So I think that might be a big, big thing if that's the case. Because if Kiko, everyone saw how horribly he played, but if he was playing hurt, and if he can return to somewhat of that form with Jim Schwartz, who knows what we may have there as well, plus Hicks, Barwin, we'll see, you know.
Well, I'm certainly hoping that Kiko Alonso is hurt. You know what I mean? I hope that wasn't – I know that wasn't what he was all about. He's got to be a better player than that, or he wouldn't have come with all the hoopla that he came with. So, yeah, I hope you're right. And yes, to answer your question, Schwartz was the defensive coordinator in 2014 for the Buffalo Bills.
But that was the year Alonzo sat out, wasn't it, the injury?
Yeah, it would be. You're right.
And my theory's incorrect.
You're right.
But at least they know each other.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, hey, both of you have already mentioned quarterbacks, and I'm going to throw some names at you, and I want to sell or buy here for you, okay? So bear with me, but I'm going to go down. There are 10 free agent names that I'm going to bounce off you guys, and I just want to get your take. And first two that I'm going to hit you with, Kirk Cousins and Sam Bradford.
Well, Cousins certainly came on very strongly the second half of the year, looked to be a real NFL quarterback. We all laughed at the beginning of the year when the Redskins named him quarterback. I gave the Skins no shot in that division, and they ended up winning it, of course. And Cousins, you know, was certainly a pretty solid quarterback. I don't think there's any way he gets out of Washington, but, yeah, I would definitely be a buyer on Kirk Cousins. Bradford, well, we're going to talk more about him, but I mean, if the reports are true, his agent wants a whole lot of money for him, like more than $20 million a year for Sam Bradford. So, I mean, I like Bradford as a quarterback, but the money's going to be an issue. Fred?
I would say I would buy Kirk Cousins. I've always really been a fan of Kirk Cousins. Partially when I was watching him, I guess last year would have been, not the successful year this year, and he would put up solid numbers, but then he would always have the issue with turnovers, and it was just weird to me. He'd be so on the money one game or one half and then just total turnovers another half or game. And then we watched him this year, and maybe it really was the fact that he had RG3 over his shoulder and he knew he was one play away from getting pulled. But he still does make some bonehead mistakes, like the Eagles game when he took the knee, and then I even think in the Packers game he did something too. I maybe called a time. I forget what he did. He did something, and I'm like, oh man. But I would buy him, and then Bradford I would sell. I'm sick of Sam Bradford. I've never liked the trade when he came here. He looked like he started to get the offense a little bit and started to be successful, but he just, I don't know, something about him, he just irks me. He doesn't seem like a quarterback, like a leader, like the guy that I want running the franchise. And especially with what his agent came out saying, that type of money, that's definitely a no. But then we got to go through the whole him learning the offense through the first half of the year, looking like a deer in the headlights. And I don't even want to go there. I just want to find a new quarterback and move forward in the Peterson era.
Well, that leads me right to where I wanted to go. And Chet, I'm going to throw this at you first. Let Fred catch his thought here. You know, you bring Doug Peterson in here. You've got a quarterback situation. Let's say your three choices are you're going to pay Sam Bradford 22, whatever the right number is, $22 million to franchise him for 1 year. You're going to sign him to a four or five-year deal, and pay him $100 million if it, or $80 million, whatever, some number. Or you're going to let him walk, and you're going to go with Mark Sanchez or somebody. We know that the quarterback draft class is not very strong. So as the new head coach, Doug Peterson, can you be expected to be successful when you're in a quarterback situation that may last a year and you have to start over? I mean, to me, they need a commitment from somebody to if Doug Peterson's going to be successful. Thoughts, Mr. Chesko?
It's not a great situation, I got to tell you. I don't want to pay Bradford all that money, but if it were me, what I would do, I would franchise him. I don't know if they're going to do that. I would franchise him, pay him the $22 to $24 million to keep him for 1 year, but I would also draft a quarterback this year, not in the first round, but in the third round, I guess. They don't have a second-round pick unless they trade and get a second-round pick. So, you know, take a shot at the best available quarterback in the second or third round. As I said, they have a third-round pick, and you know, try to develop him quickly. I just fear that keeping Bradford around is ultimately not going to be the answer. He's going to get hurt again at some point. You just have that feeling. But I also don't want to go back to starting from scratch, bringing in a Joe Schmo and, you know, having him the quarterback for this year and maybe next year. And I certainly don't want to see any more Mark Sanchez on a regular basis. So my choice, do the franchise deal for Sam Bradford, but also draft a quarterback in the third round.
That's definitely an option if you franchise them, I guess. I can't even stand looking at him either. Him or Sanchez, they just it really irks me. I guess Sanchez more than him. It really alarmed me when I was at that Miami Dolphins game and Bradford came out hurt and they were giving Sanchez like a standing O. Like we had Joe Montana coming in. I'm like, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
So I could deal with both of those guys leaving. And I mean, they say there isn't a high value at quarterback in this draft, but you really don't know. You don't know who you're going to get. So I would definitely draft a quarterback. And at the very least, if we have a bad quarterback and we have to go through a bad season, we might have to take a page out of the Hinkie book, because there is a quarterback in Clemson that we could take the following year, that if we go winless for Watson, that I would love that quarterback. So
winless for Watson, I like it.
Oh,
I don't know. Cool. We'll see.
Well, you know, I guess that Paxton Lynch out of Memphis is supposed to be the number one quarterback in the draft by most accounts. But, you know, I don't see them picking him in the first round. And he surely, even if he's available, I don't see him being available. But, you know, you're gonna drop down pretty far there, I think, to get one in the third or fourth round that can help you out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, hey,
what
I
about
got a
Carson Wentz? Sorry, question for you guys. I'm not sure. My friend Paul McNichol pointed this guy out to me, and I looked at him a little bit. Carson Wentz from North Dakota State. You guys have any thoughts on him?
The only thing I know about him is I know he's got an absolute gun. And I know that in the Senior Bowl that's coming up, the Dallas Cowboys staff is coaching that team, and Wentz is going to be playing for the Cowboys staff. So he'd be practicing with those guys. But, yeah, he's a big kid. He's like 6'5". I want to say he's 225, something like that. And from what I understand, he's supposed to be a first-round type pick.
Hmm.
So, hey, I got a couple names, more names for you. These are free agents. And I'll go with the buy or sell from you guys and just kind of get your thoughts as we go, okay? How about Von Miller, outside linebacker?
Not sure. How old is he now? Do you know?
He's getting up there.
Yeah, that's my only fear. I mean,
I
think he's still got a lot left in the tank. I'm
going to
be a buyer. What the heck?
Okay. Well,
I like Von
remember now. You got you're only going to have a limited amount of money because you tied it all up in a couple other guys. So go ahead.
Yeah.
We'll go buy. What do you say, Fred?
I mean, for the Eagles or just in general? For the Eagles, I say sell. I don't really think I think we have to see the linebackers we have. I think we have a good set of linebackers in Kendricks, Barwin, Hicks. We'll see what it's up with Kiko. D'Amico, he's probably – can we release him and get money on the cap? I'm not sure. But Von Miller, it sounds good, but I don't think we're in a position to go after linebacker right now. We'll see what we got.
Yeah, and by the way, Chet, Von Miller is just 26. Seems like he's been playing.
Oh, really? I thought he was like 30.
Oh, really?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking he was like 32.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Maybe we do buy.
Yeah.
26. Okay, how about Alshon Jeffrey, wide receiver, Chicago Bears. Fred?
He's injured. I like him, but he's injury prone. I really think we got to build through the draft. So I wouldn't spend the money on Alshon Jeffrey. He's a great receiver, but again, I'm selling just on the fact that to bring him here for the money he would command, and then he's been injury prone his entire career. I'm going to sell on that one.
Yeah, I'm going to say no also. I think we have other more pressing needs. I know the wide receivers were a big disappointment this year, but I still think Nelson Agholor is going to be a player. And I'm hopeful that, you know, one more year Josh Huff might be okay, although that's probably kind of crazy on my part. But I'm going to say no on spending money on a wide receiver.
Okay. I'm going to throw three linemen together for you because they're hard to even know these guys, but I'll throw them out there. They're all free agents. Kalishi Asamili, guard tackle from the Ravens. Cordy Glenn, the tackle from the Bills. And Russell Okung, a tackle from the Seahawks. All free agents, and we need a tackle, and we need guards.
Hey, I don't know enough about them, to be honest, to tell you how good they are, but, I mean, if they can help that offensive line, I say go for it. That's my number one area of need this year, be it through the draft, free agency, or both. So if these guys are talented and affordable, yeah, I'm a buyer.
Russell Okung, no doubt about that. That's who I would go after. But how would we fit him in? I guess we would have to cut Peters, and he would fill in at that point. I guess that's the way you would go for that. You got Lane and Peters here, so.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think that's something, you know, I think definitely we'll try to get to here a little bit is talking about Peters and Ryans, as you mentioned, and Selleck. These guys are, you know, they're getting a little long in the tooth. Is it time for Peterson to come in and clean house? That's something
else.
Yeah,
a little bit.
I got two more names I want to throw at you, then we'll get off this free agent list. But these are big names. Josh Norman, cornerback.
Ooh. Yeah, he's one of the best. Yeah, I like him.
Yeah, he's pretty good. He's pretty good. And, you know, I'm sure if you could get him out of Carolina, it's going to come at big money. And hopefully he won't be quite as disappointing as the one we spent all the money on last year.
And think of all the fun it would be playing the Giants twice a year, too.
Yes, it would. All right, hey, here's my last name, and this one's got a little local flavor. This guy's a player, too. From the New York Jets, Muhammad Wilkerson's a free agent.
Take it, Fred.
Yeah, I don't know. Nah, I'm selling on that, too. I really think, and I said it, I'm kind of repeating myself here, that the free agency, we learned the hard way kind of twice here. We have to just build through the draft, keep the price down, and develop a team through the draft. Draft linemen, offensive and defensive linemen, start up front and go from there, and then hopefully we find a quarterback at some point. But that's kind of what I'm stuck on here. You know?
I'll go with Fred on that one. I like that. Hey, before we get into anything else, I just wanted to ask you guys your initial impressions of Peterson so far. I mean, you probably watched the news conference yesterday. My take, he was a bit nervous, which isn't a big deal, but he was generally likable, although I admit his answer regarding time management on that final Chiefs drive Saturday was a bit troubling. We can get into that later if you want, but otherwise I thought Peterson did okay, and, you know, I'm going to give the guy a chance. I'm not going to knock him and, you know, kill the hire. Let's give the guy a chance. But what are your initial impressions?
In the beginning, I actually called Peterson. I thought it was going to be Peterson. I didn't know if I agree with it or not, but I knew they were. I thought they were going to go after an Andy Reid guy. But as I watched the press conference, yeah, he seemed nervous, and that's, yeah, I guess, normal with his experience. But then I thought, like, what happens when the heat gets turned up? What happens if they start out 3-6 and everyone's pressing them? Like, I don't know. I don't know how he's going to react, but even though I didn't like the response, he did answer the Patriots question or the time management question immediately and with what his thoughts were on why it went that way. So I'm kind of scared at the way his thought process goes. Like if we're down 14 in the fourth quarter to a good team and you need your plan is to run the clock out down to 1 minute so that we can do an onside kick so we don't give them the ball back. And think about the defense that the Chiefs have. The Chiefs' defense is really good, you know. So we can't play scared. We got to play to win. And that kind of started to make me think the other way on him.
That was the most troubling comment in that whole news conference for me, was that time management issue where he thought he was doing the right thing by, you know, taking 5.5-6 minutes on that drive where they got the touchdown. That was just crazy.
Yeah,
and Andy Reid said the same thing. And
exactly.
We've watched it for years. We've watched it in the Patriots game.
Yep.
It's like it's history repeating itself, and in the Super Bowl I'm talking about, and it's just very scary.
Deja vu all over again. Yes, indeed.
I'll take all Reid's qualities except running the football and the 2 minute drill with the play calling there, and if he's bringing those two, I don't want him.
Right. Well, hey, I guess my thought on this is, you know, we got all excited when we got the last guy, and he came with all this, you know, hype, and that didn't work out so good. I say we give this guy a chance. I think, you know, and I know my buddies aren't in agreement with this, but I don't think, as you both said a little bit earlier, this team isn't as good as it was 3 years ago, and I think to expect a playoff team in 2 or 3 years is probably not reasonable. Or, you know, maybe you can sneak in and win the East, but to be substantial, I think they've got a long way to go. Which gets me to my one other question I wanted to say before the break. I wanted to ask you guys, personnel. You know, there's a rumor out there now, I guess, that Jeffrey Lurie is going to hire somebody in that personnel department of some experience.
Said he will, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it's that getting that personnel department straightened out was every bit, if not more, important than who they got as the head coach. They got to get the right people and can't make mistakes anymore in the draft and free agency.
he wasn't forthcoming about how it was going to work, who was going to be in charge. Would Howie be over the player personnel guy? Would the player personnel guy be over Howie? I know they're big on this whole collaborative thing now, but there's got to be somebody in charge. And right now it just doesn't sound like they have anybody who's specifically, you know, in charge as far as making the decisions on the 90-man roster or the 53-man roster. So whoever it is, I hope they bring somebody in and do it soon, and they have, you know, all their things in order before the draft so they know exactly who's in charge, who has final say, what the deal is. And, well, I don't know. I mean, Howie sounded very contrite yesterday, his first interview in a year. He sounded like, you know, he learned his lesson or whatever, and he was like a dog who had been punished and is just now being allowed out again. It was kind of weird. But I like the fact they are hiring a new head of player personnel. Let's hope it's the right pick and it's a guy who knows his stuff.
Yeah, up until yesterday, my thought process was I'm open-minded about Peterson. I'm not as down on Howie as everyone else is. And then after yesterday, it went the total other way. Howie, I agree 100%. He looked like a little baby kid that just got let out of his room, and he was like so soft and so like, oh, I'm all about building relationships and getting into people's hearts and their families. And in my head, I'm like, what? I'm like, we're running a football team here. What's going on here? Like, I think it's becoming a circus. Like, I go back to even when Reed and Tom Modrak was here. Why did they get Modrak out of here? Modrak should have stayed. And it's weird that they won't just put a football guy. It's real simple. You just get a football guy, you put him in there, and you don't do anything else. You let him do what he got to do. And I don't see what the deal is here. I don't understand why they want to do this, like, weird process of whisper down the lane, and then no wonder the communications got screwed up between Chip and the players and the management. I mean, that it should be just man-to-man. Like, hey, this is what we're doing. Like it or not, this is the way it's going. And I'm a football guy, and I got experience. It's starting to get really under my skin the way this whole thing's going.
But
wouldn't you hire the personnel person first and then go get the coach?
Yeah, ideally. But these are the Eagles we're talking about.
Well, it depends where he's coming from. He might be in the playoffs. You know, who knows who this guy is? And they had to get something done. But, you know what thought I had with Howie why I saw that interview, I'm thinking to myself, I wonder if this guy's just been reading the papers and reading social media stuff that we read and just knows he is getting annihilated by people who don't even know him, you know, fair or unfair, but it is what it is. And I'm thinking if he just wanted to try to come out there and try to be, you know, I've learned my lessons, I sat in the corner, blah, 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 and take the soft step on the thing a little bit rather than come in and be bravado and get killed again, you know.
True.
You know, I mean, because he's been taking an absolute beating for no reason. Nobody knows what really happened in that office unless you were in the office.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay,
yeah, that's a
good
point. So
Let's get to our trivia question, and we got a couple things to do here, and we'll get back. We'll talk a little more Eagles. We'll talk Philly, Sixers, Flyers. But it's trivia time right now for the first correct answer, winning a signed 8x10 color photo of Flyers winger Jake Voracek, courtesy of Carl's Cards and Collectibles. First person that can call in and correctly answer our trivia question. Our shopforkisses.org phone line to answer the trivia question, 929-477-2855. And by the way, that's the same number. We need some callers to call in and harass us tonight because we're in the harassing type mood. But here we go. And Chet, you know, just about everybody and everything about Doug Peterson has been written or talked about in the last week, except I haven't heard this one. So you better think long and hard to answer this trivia question. This is not an easy one. Well, maybe it is, if you know your football. Here we go. As a rookie in 1993, as a member of the Miami Dolphins, Peterson came on in relief of Scott Mitchell to help secure the Dolphins' 1914 win at Veterans Stadium against the Eagles. Why is this game significant in NFL history?
Oh, this is easy.
There you go.
You're not eligible tonight, Fred.
You're not eligible tonight. Here we go. We'll say it again. As a rookie in 1993, as a member of the Miami Dolphins, Peterson came on in relief of Scott Mitchell to help secure the Dolphins' 19-14 win at Veterans Stadium against the Eagles. Why is this game significant in NFL history? The number again, 929-477-2855. Okay, let's take a break. Thank our sponsor, shopforkisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation. By logging on to the www.shopforkisses.org website, you become connected to over 3,000 stores, including all the big ones you already shop at. Every purchase made gets you cash back, and each purchase benefits the Kisses for Kyle Foundation, which helps families dealing with childhood cancer throughout the Delaware Valley. If you have any questions, contact Bob Sullivan at bobsullivan.shopcom@gmail.com or give him a call at 484-319-8043. Okay, and just to, before we get started again, let's put it out again. The number, the call-in number to ask questions, comments, Eagles, Phillies, Sixers, Flyers, 929-477-2855. All right, Fred, we're gonna go to your one of your favorite sports now, because I know you follow the Sixers and you really enjoy the Sixers in basketball, and so does Chet, and actually so do I. I have a little more trouble getting a lot of those games down here, but Chet and I have talked about this Okafor Noel deal and all that. How do you see this all playing out with these two guys?
I'm starting to lose confidence in Brett Brown a little bit. I know he doesn't have much to work with, but I mean, his one job is to have these young players grow and learn. So, I mean, let's be honest, they're probably going to lose anyway. So put them on the floor and let them learn together. Like it's simple to me. Like, I don't understand why that's not happening. And that Okafor has been benched in the fourth quarter and third and fourth quarter of the Knicks game. I just don't understand it. Like, this guy, this year is an opportunity for him to grow and learn how to play defense, learn to do those things without the pressure really of winning or losing. And I just don't understand why he's not on the court. The only thing I can think is maybe he's not coachable and he's going against with Brett's saying, so Brett's punishing him, but I don't know. I'm really like confused at what's going on. I expect him to lose, but he should be playing. He should be in the fourth quarter, crunch time, learning, getting the ball, like not these other guys who aren't going to be on NBA rosters in a couple years.
Yeah, that was really bizarre what happened on Monday. I didn't get to see the game live, but as Fred implied, Okafor, who had 20 points, by the way, in 2.5 quarters, didn't get off the bench again after that, midway through the third quarter. It was coach's decision. Brett Brown just decided he liked the way that the guys who were out there were playing, Noel, Ish Smith, and the other guys. But the game ended up going into double overtime, and, you know, Okafor never got off the bench again, even though he hadn't played that poorly. But, yeah, he and Noel are still struggling to, I guess, find that cohesion and playing together. It's a struggle, and I kind of pity Brett Brown in that aspect. He's got two guys who are fairly similar in a lot of ways, and he's trying to make them fit. Noel certainly, you know, better defensively. Okafor better offensively. But it's weird. And, I mean, despite that, the Sixers have been playing better of late. They had their best game of the year, in fact, in a rout of the Suns last weekend. Really looked good in racking up a nice 25-point win over the Suns after blowing a 24-point lead and losing to the Bulls two nights earlier. On Saturday, they kept the turnovers to a minimum, kept the shot the ball real well. And, they were very impressive. So they're in more and more games lately. They still only have 5 wins, but I think they have a lot of winnable games coming up, and as I said previously, they're not going to set that NBA record for futility. They will have double-digit wins this season. I'm not worried about that.
Wait, Chet, let me go somewhere away from the Sixers, but stay on hoops, and because Fred probably doesn't appreciate this, being that he's a little younger than you and I, or quite the way that you and I do, but LaSalle Temple St. Joe Penn at the Palestra
doubleheader
tonight in a Big Five doubleheader. What do you say
I was going to mention that, as a matter of fact. It is the 60th anniversary of the Big Five this year. So as we do our show this evening, the Big Five is celebrating with one of those old-fashioned doubleheaders at the Palestra. And I got to tell you, this takes me back to when I was a kid in the late 60s and early 70s. And, in fact, some of those guys are going to be there tonight. During timeouts, they have legendary players from each decade of the Big Five being introduced to the crowd. We're talking players like Temple's Johnny Baum from the late 60s, Ollie Johnson, Aaron McKee, Mark Macon, LaSalle's Doug Overton, mm-hmm. Lionel Simmons, Penn's Corky Calhoun and Ira Bowman, St. Joe's Clifford Anderson and Rodney Blake, Villanova's Harold Jensen and Alvin Williams will be there. Yeah, as a young hoops fan growing up in northeastern Pennsylvania, I loved watching those frequent Big Five doubleheaders, and this is a beautiful thing for me tonight, seeing this happen. Happy 60th anniversary, Big Five.
Fred, did you ever did you have a Philadelphia basketball college team that you followed?
Yeah, my team growing up was Villanova. It still is. But when I was little, and that's why when you said Alvin Williams, I perked up. But I loved Kerry Kittles, John Celestine. I remember him, and I always loved Nova growing up. That was my team, and that's weird you guys brought that up because before I got on the call, I saw that it was a doubleheader, and yeah. And one thing, and I'm kind of it's a shame that I've always heard about it, and I've never seen a game at the Palestra. That's something I need to do, like. I need to get that off the list, you know, and it's, yep. I would like to see a good game at the Palestra as well. So, but Nova's my team.
You absolutely need to do that. And I'll tell you without going into a whole lot of details that I worked as an usher at the Palestra when I was in high school was the first job I ever had in my life. And it was just an amazing, amazing thing to do. And, Chet, you hit all those names on the head. Corky Calhoun, one of my all-time favorites. And one of the other names I saw that was going to be there was Jim Skyman Crawford from LaSalle, somebody I remember a lot. Mike Banham, Tom Inglesby in those days. It was quite a place to go, and that's why they call it the Cathedral. Fred, it's right down the street from you, my friend. Get yourself a ticket. Next time they do one of these City Series doubleheaders, get yourself there. It's absolutely
great. Have Sanchez making an appearance?
Not tonight, no.
Not tonight? Okay.
I don't think so. Hey, in 1986 and 87, I was doing color commentary for Princeton basketball on a local radio station in Princeton. And so we did the Penn-Princeton game, of course, every year at the Palestra. So those 2 years that I did it, I would go there with my play-by-play guy. And we actually did the game from the top row in the crowd, like within the fans in the top row right there. And, boy, what an atmosphere that was. What wow. Great memories and what a lot of fun that was.
Wow.
That's so cool.
Right, hey,
that's awesome.
I think we have an answer. Might have an answer to our trivia question. We got a caller one way or the other. Who we have? Hello, you there?
Hey, Jason Chaddy.
What's going on?
Who do we have?
This?
What's that?
Not
What's
Danny.
The one and only.
Do I hear two voices?
Danny B.
One?
What are the odds?
What are the odds?
Do you have an answer to the trivia question here, sir?
Oh, my God. Are you kidding me? Even Fred Hugo could have got this one.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Lay it on us.
I think that was Don Shula's record 325th win.
That would be the correct answer. That happened at Veterans Stadium in Philadelphia. And I will tell you, since I write the questions, I did not know that Doug Peterson was the quarterback in that game. He came in to relieve Scott Mitchell. And I thought, wow, what a cool thing that is. It was his rookie year, and Peterson came in to secure that win. Did not throw any touchdown passes, but did secure that win. So good piece of history there.
Right.
So, Danny, you are the winner of the Jake Voracek picture.
Well, thank you.
Google.com is a great search engine, Danny, ain't it?
Is that your source, Fred? Hey,
all right,
Danny. I didn't know the score of that game or who quarterbacked it, but I did remember that was his record win, though. I did remember.
All right.
And I will actually tell you, hey. I have the ticket stub from that game.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yep. All right, Danny. Well, we appreciate it, and we'll get
hey,
with
one
Carl.
More thing.
We'll get
one more thing.
Go ahead.
Hey, what? One more thing. I promised my granddaughter I'd give her a shout-out. So, Isabella, I love you.
There you go.
We'll take that.
Okay, Danny. Thank you, sir. All right, Chet.
All right, Chet,
I wanted to bring up one more thing because we're running short on our time already. Time's flying. The Phils are starting in about a month, headed to Clearwater, loaded with young arms. I don't know that they've got the players, but they've got a lot of young arms. You got any excitement for the 2016 Phillies?
We talked about it a bit last week. I'm not anticipating to be in the pennant race or anything, but there's always excitement when baseball season rolls around. You know, you want to see what your team has to offer. You want to see some of these young guys, the young pitchers especially. They're going to be fun to watch. As we said last time, they're going to take their lumps, but you know what? I think there's a lot of potential there, and I want to see, you know, the Aaron Nolas and these other guys, just see what they have and how they develop over the course of the year. Hopefully they won't be losing 99 games again this year, but you never know. Maybe they'll be closer to 500 than we could expect. I look forward to spring training every year. I will tune in some of the games when they're on TV in early March, mid-March, just to get a feel for baseball season. Warmer weather on the way. It's an exciting time, even if this team isn't going to be that good.
Fred, what do you think of the Phils?
That's the first time I've been excited, like legit excited in a while, because with youth and with change, and even any kind of change, sometimes there's apprehensive, but in this situation, change just brings a lot of excitement, and that's what I want to see. All the young players, I'm excited to see J.P. Crawford, Mark Appel, to see if he can rebound with the change of scenery, and I was excited to hear the manager today when he said about Howard, how he was like, you know what? He told him, look, if you're not going to hit lefties, you're going to be benched. Like that's, I'm platooning you, and that's the way it's going to go. And it's just really good that Pete Mack, I always screw up his last name. That he actually is going to like be a manager, sit these guys down, and let the young players play. I'm kind of excited to watch them. And like Chet was saying, like just the atmosphere, the weather gets nicer, go down for opening day. And hopefully they can score runs, because it's a lot easier to take losses if it's like there's scoring involved, you know. But when it's just
right.
Like the way it was going, it was just so boring. Yeah. You would just go there and you're like, oh my gosh! I remember last year I went to the game and it was really comparable to like going to a little league baseball game. Like there's like no one in the stands, no one's really paying attention. You got a runner on third, they start clapping. It was bad.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it's going to be better, and a lot of young talent floating around. But when it's all said and done, I'm just going to make a joke here, Chet, a little tongue-in-cheek. When it's all said and done, Ruben Amaro is going to be the genius that traded away the players and got all these prospects.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, look, Ed Wade got a lot of credit after he left, too,
Wade.
For the trades he made. So.
Well, and he did the same thing in Houston, too. But
yeah.
Ed Wade did. Okay, well, hey, let's move on. Carl's Cards and Collectibles is at it again, and after this past weekend's great event with Eagles Hall of Fame legends Pete Retzlaff and Maxie Bond, Carl has added one of my all-time favorites, Monsignor Bonner graduate and Penn State Heisman Trophy winner John Cappelletti will be in the store on April 23rd. And I'm going to tell you, I've met Cappy a handful of times. You will not meet a nicer man than John Cappelletti. So, mark it down, April 23rd, Carl's Cards and Collectibles, 22 West Eagle Road, Havertown, PA, or give Carl a call at 610-789-4996, or you can visit his website, carlscards.com, or contact him on Twitter, at Carl's Cards. Now, Fred, you're a Bonner grad. You interested in meeting Cappy?
Yeah, I was just about to give a Bonner, a nice little yell, Bonner 03 right here. So, yeah, I remember reading Something for Joey when I was in grade school at BVM, and then that kind of made me want to go to Bonner because I knew Cappelletti had gone to Bonner, and then a lot of my friends were going, obviously, too. So, yeah, right in Havertown, local, I should definitely stop up and get an autograph.
Yep, John is just about as nice a guy as you're ever going to come along. Chet, you're a Penn State guy, so Cappy.
Yeah,
on your
I never met John Cappelletti, so I'm definitely going to put that on my calendar and hope to make it out.
Yep. It's Carl will have all the good stuff to get signed, and like I said, you will leave with a smile that you've met John Cappelletti. Nice, just a real, real nice man.
Sounds
all
good.
Right. All right, prediction time. Chet, I think I was 3-1 again last week with New England, who I was hoping would lose, but I said they would win. Arizona, Carolina, and Pittsburgh. Obviously, Pittsburgh didn't hold on. But how did you do?
Well, Bill, you can check the audio tape. I was a perfect 4-0 last week, and I'm 7-1 now for the postseason. And I think I just pulled something, patting myself on my back. But you asked, so yeah, there you have it. 4-0 last week, pal.
4-0. Okay, well, hey, Fred, we're going to get you in the fray here this time. It's championship weekend. New England visits Denver. Arizona visits Carolina. Fred, who you like?
Broncos, Cardinals.
Cardinals. Just remember now, Fred, everything you say is recorded.
Just like that Darren Sproles punt return in week 3, right?
There you go. All right, Chet, who you have?
Well, the Cardinals expended a lot of energy in getting past the Packers last Saturday night. What a game that was, by the way. I think the top-seeded Carolina Panthers survived this one. Over in the AFC, boy, a tough one. Denver is at home, but the Patriots are the Patriots, and it's tough going against Tom Brady. I will root for Peyton and the Broncos, but my head says New England wins that one. So I'm going the total opposite of Fred. I'm saying New England and Carolina.
Well, and Chet, you know what? It always just angers me to agree with you, but I'm going to have to agree with you. I'm taking
You're
the Panthers,
man.
And the only reason I'm taking the Panthers is because they're at home. I think this is a dead even game.
Yep.
Two really good offenses, really good defenses. It just might be snowing in the Carolinas instead of being in a dome in Arizona. So I'm going Panthers at home. And, you know, New England, I just don't know what to think. It's all about Tom Brady, and the Joker just keeps on getting it done. I'm going to have to go New England, and I could always hope that they lose. So I'm going New England
to
and, Panthers, and the Panthers, but I'd be okay. Well, I'd actually be okay with however it turns out, because
yeah.
I kind of like all, I like all four of these teams. I think they're good. I think it's all played out pretty well, as it should have. This year.
Could
I got a good matchup
games.
For you in that Cardinals game. Ed. Larry Fitzgerald in the slot with Cortland Finnegan.
Yep.
Finnegan's not the greatest on that defense, and that's why I think the Cardinals will take that one.
All right. Looking forward to it.
Yep. And Larry Fitzgerald, man, what a beast he is. You know, we talked about him just not long ago saying hope he wasn't lost in the shuffle because he spent his whole career in Arizona, but man, what a player. All right, Mr. Chesko, we're at parting shot time for you, sir. Do you have a parting shot tonight?
I do indeed. Like you, Bill, and most of our listeners, I'm a diehard Eagles football fan. But for 40-plus years, I've also been a pretty big fan of the Eagles, the band, and of David Bowie. Sadly, both Bowie and Eagles founding member Glenn Frey left us in the last 10 days. One of many not-so-great things about getting older is that a lot of our childhood heroes keep leaving us. Great Philly athletes like Chuck Bednarik, Daryl Dawkins, and Moses Malone just last year. And now music icons like David Bowie and Glenn Frey already here in 2016. As Glenn himself wrote in one of his songs, people don't run out of dreams, people just run out of time. Ain't that the truth? Now, I know we still have the music, which is a great thing, but in mourning Bowie and Frey, I guess I'm also mourning my lost youth. And to quote lyrics from a popular Righteous Brothers song, if there's a rock and roll heaven, you know they've got a hell of a band.
Absolutely. And you know, you can't be more correct as these guys. You know, you keep thinking every day, these guys just aren't old enough to be dying yet. You know, because
yeah,
I guess when we look in the mirror, we're getting old too, but we're not going to tell anybody that. Fred, you have a parting shot for us tonight?
I'd say my parting shot is, and this is probably people are going to say I'm being an optimist, but the Eagles defense will be top 10, if not top 5 next year. And I'm not sure what our overall record will be, but it'll return to gangrene type defense with a pass rush. And I'm really excited about Jim Schwartz now that I've read up more on him. Initially when I heard the wide 9, I was like, eh. But now the more you think about it, he knows what he's doing. As a coordinator, his defensives have been great. So Eagles defense next year, top 10, if not top 5.
I hope you're right.
Okay. I hope you're right, too. I guess my parting shot for the night is going to be that here we are going into 2016 with maybe the Philadelphia sports scene probably right down about as low as it's ever been in our lifetime, Chet. Maybe back there in the early 70s there was a couple of years, but I think there is some optimism on the horizon. I'm ready for the 76ers to get straightened out, get this thing headed in the right direction, and hopefully they're just one draft away from that. The Flyers are making trying to make a little playoff push, as long as they don't underachieve in games like last night and play down after playing up in against Boston and the Rangers and Detroit. So, but there's a lot of young talent in the Flyer system as well. The Phillies, as we mentioned, loaded with young talent. A matter of getting them some age and getting some experience. And the Eagles, we'll see. It's a new beginning under Doug Peterson. I think they probably lack the talent more than any of these other bunches at this point. But, free agency and making the right choices can help you get that back on track. So I'm going to go glass half full. The Philadelphia sports scene is not in as bad a shape as we think it is for as long as we might think it is. I think we're headed back in the right direction.
And remember, Bill, back in 72 and 73, as bad as it was, well, 2 years later, the Flyers were winning Stanley Cups. Then a couple of years after that, the Sixers were playing for an NBA title. The Eagles hired Dick Vermeil and started getting better. And, I mean, the Phillies won the division title, 76, 77, 78. So, a matter of 3 or 4 years after the depths, things were pretty darn good. So let's hope that history repeats itself right here.
I am with you. That's what I'm banking on. All right, boy. Chet, next week we have another former Eagle making his Philly Press Box Radio Roundtable debut. Dennis Franks will be joining us live.
Wow.
Looking forward to hearing Dennis, the Eagles, the Michigan Wolverine stories, and just catching up with Dennis and what all he's got going on in his world. And I know he's been, turned into quite a successful businessman. So, looking forward to hearing the Eagles and Michigan stories. If you have any Wolverine fans out there, listen in.
Jimmy Wilson.
Jimmy Wilson. There you go. Hey, we'd like to thank our special guest, Fred Hugo, for joining us tonight. Carl's Cards and Collectibles for his continuing support of the show. Mary Flanagan, our marketing extraordinaire behind the scenes. Our sponsor, ShopForKisses.org, the online shopping network of the Kisses for Kyle Foundation.
Nice job,
for
Fred.
Fred, we want to
thank you.
We appreciate you coming on and great insight. And we'll get you back on here as we go.
Yes,
indeed. Sounds good. I appreciate you having me on. It was awesome.
Thanks, Fred.
All right. For Jim Chechesco, this is Bill Furman. We hope you'll join Philly Press Box Radio on Wednesday, January 27th at 7 p.m. with former Eagle Dennis Franks joining us. You can listen through our Facebook page or on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com/Philly Press Box Radio. And now on both iTunes and Stitcher. High hopes, Philadelphia sports fans.